Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and manifest myself to him. Let it be understood that the man who claims Christ as his Savior should make manifest this claim by observing the holy maxims that Christ has given. He who professes to be a Christian and yet does not observe the precepts of his Lord is in a world of a deceiver, is a betrayer of the truth of God. The progress of truth in the world is often hindered by the unsanctified characters of men who claim to be its adherents. It would be far better to make no profession of truth than making a profession to drag the truth down by an un-Christ-like course of action. The true lover of truth will say, I am a Christian, and I cannot call sin righteousness. I cannot connive at any deception. I cannot act a lie under any circumstances, nor look upon sin as a light thing. Though through the repetition of that which the Word of God condemns, the conscience becomes hardened, and provisions and fraud, long practice, seem of trifling import to him who has trampled underfoot the precepts of Christ. Exaggeration and fraud and falsehood are largely dealt in the world. But shall those who profess to believe the truth do unrighteousness? Shall they gather the pollution that everywhere exists and identify themselves with those who, although they are termed upright men, are evildoers? He who looks upon the heart and cannot behold sin with any degree of allowance will not countenance hypocrisy in those who claim to be his children. The reason why many do not embrace the truth is that those who claim to believe do not act upon the plain, direct lessons of Christ. Now we want to understand what sin is. That is, it is the transgression of God's law. This is the only definition given in scriptures. Therefore, we see that those who claim to be led of God and go right away from him and his law do not search the scriptures. But the Lord will lead his people, for he says that his sheep will follow if they hear his voice, but a stranger they will not follow. Then it becomes to us thoroughly understand the scriptures, and we will not have to inquire whether others have the truth, for it will be seen in their characters.
Let us pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, you have given us an opportunity to go to Radio Land to present a message to your people. Once again, we ask your Holy Spirit, your guidings and your mercy, that as this message go forth this day, that it will go forth once again with power, that it will not return unto you void, that men, women, boys, and girls everywhere will be drawn to the foot of the cross to look at you in a brand new way this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome all of the listening audience this afternoon. Once again, we will continue our study on the sinless life, or can you live sinless? Our health topic this afternoon will be on fruits and vegetables, you know, our favorite foods. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to contact us at area code 242-322-6273 or area code 242-364-0085. Or you can fax us at area code 242-364-1783. Our mailing address is P.O. Box EE17719, Nassau, Bahamas. And you could reach us by email at tpministries@hotmail.com. Now here's Mrs. McKinney with just a little
promotion. Upcoming events. You know, we always are so excited to be able to share with you what we may have coming up in the near future. May the 4th begins our vegetarian cooking class. It starts at 4 and ends at 6:45 each evening for 6 consecutive weeks. That's May the 4th. Mark it on your calendars if you have an interest or a desire to learn how you can live a healthy, more productive, and a better quality of life. You know, it's one thing to get up in the mornings and feel great. It's another thing to get up to pills and needles. And what we're promoting is a healthier lifestyle where we can live abundantly, where we can feel energized, where we can feel that we can accomplish all things through Christ who strengthens us. So join us. If you'd like to have more information concerning our cooking class, please feel free to give us a call at 364-0085. That's May 4th for 6 weeks. And so now we get to our topic for today on fruits and vegetables.
Okay, Marlene, the first question this afternoon I have for you is, why should fruits and vegetables make up a large part of our diet?
Well, recent studies have revealed that only 1 in 11 is actually eating the recommended daily portions of fruit and vegetable that's required. Even some vegetarians, fruit and vegetable intake has been low, like the regular diet of persons all around the world. You know, fruits and vegetables contribute vitamin A and the beta carotene and vitamin C, which are powerful antioxidants offering protection against cancer. And I mean, this is the number one killer almost in our country at this time. They also contain significant amounts of folicin and vitamin B6, which have been shown to lower the homocysteine levels, thus reducing the risk of heart disease, the number one killer in our country. Minerals such as potassium, calcium, magnesium, and selenium are found in fruit and vegetables and play an important role in normal everyday body functioning. They help lower the risk of many health problems. Additionally, fruits and vegetables provide good sources of complex carbohydrates, fiber, and phytochemicals, which are plant chemicals. They are low in fat, especially saturated fats. They contain no cholesterol and are low in calories and sodium, and thus providing excellent protection against heart disease, hypertension, and obesity. Remember, where is my favorite place for shopping? My favorite place for shopping is the area where there are no labels on the food, the fruit and vegetable aisle. You stay there, and I'm promising you, you'll be healthier than everyone else in your country.
So what do you recommend, the serving for fruits and vegetables? How much should we eat?
The Food Guide Pyramid recommends 3 to 5 servings of vegetables and 2 to 4 servings of fruit every day. Eating at least the minimum number of servings adds up to at least 5 portions daily. And I mean, we are told that only 1 in 11 are actually getting that. And so we need to make a conscious effort to get it in on a daily basis. In my home, what we've been doing to make sure we get it in, sometimes we make ice cream for breakfast. And so we would blend the frozen bananas and strawberries. And if you'd love to have the recipe, you can always call us. And we can get at least 2 to 3. You get about 2 servings right there with a nice cup full of ice cream. You have your bananas, your strawberries, your pineapples, whatever other fruit you'd like to add to that.
Okay, Marlene, which fruits and vegetables provide the most nutrients to us?
In terms of the nutrients that are supplied by the fruits and vegetables, we have sources of vitamin A, or beta carotenes, which is found in the orange vegetables like carrots, sweet potatoes, and pumpkin. These are rich vitamin A foods that are great for fighting cancer. Dark green leafy vegetables such as spinach, collard greens, turnips, orange fruits like mango and cantaloupe and apricots and tomatoes. These are the vitamin A sources. Then the vitamin C sources would be the citrus fruit and juices, the kiwi fruit, the strawberries, and the cantaloupe. Then we have the broccoli, the peppers, the tomatoes, cabbage, and potatoes. Leafy greens, such as the romaine lettuce, which is the number one lettuce that we should be eating. Turnip greens and spinach, loaded in vitamin C. So we don't need to be going out of our way to take vitamins when all these foods carry the vitamins that we need for our daily functioning. Then we have sources of folate, and this is so important. So we need especially our pregnant mothers to listen. Cooked dry beans and peas. That's all you need. Oranges and orange juice, which is from the citrus family. Dark green leafy vegetables like spinach and mustard greens and romaine lettuce. Then our final area that we will cover for today would be the sources of potassium. For so long, we've known that, oh, bananas have lots of potassium. But aren't there any other foods out there with potassium? Yes, there's got to be. We've got baked white and sweet potato, cooked greens such as the spinach, the winter squash, the orange one. Bananas, of course, have lots of potassium. Plantain, dried fruits such as the apricots, the prunes, and the orange juice. Cooked dry beans such as baked beans and lentils are loaded with potassium. So these are just a few of the fruit and vegetables and their nutrients and where we can find them.
Marlene, what is our challenge for the week?
You know, the Creator God has placed in fruit and vegetables many wonderful health-promoting properties. Additionally, they add variety, texture, flavor, and color to our meals. It is said that we should have at least three to four colors on one plate. And so if you can make your meal as colorful as possible, you don't want everything to be white potatoes and white rice and piece of chicken. That's all so bland. How about adding a fresh garden salad to that with lots of carrots and lots of spinach? And you can get the fresh leaf spinach and make your garden salad exciting with loads of tomatoes. It is our challenge to give the vegetable and fruit the place they deserve in our diet. That is the challenge for this week, in addition to our ongoing challenge of our daily fast every Thursday. So this week, you're going to add more fruit for breakfast and have more salads and greens and vegetables with your lunch. And then, of course, on Thursday, you're going to join us at Turning Point Ministries in our Thursday fasting and praying that we will be healed and that we will be cleansed, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. May God bless you as you enjoy the rest of our program.
Thank you very much, Marlene. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Julian. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Once again, we're going to take on this subject. Can we live sinless in this world today? And what I have for you this afternoon, Brother Paul, is last week you, in your closing remarks, you indicated that the Bible teaches once saved, always saved. Is this the case?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is possible that once we are saved, we can remain saved, Brother Julian.
Now, are you trying to tell me now that once I accept Christ, once I'm born again, that I will never sin, I can remain saved forever?
Well, before I get there, I think I need to say, how is it possible for us to remain saved? In John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," which is very important that we hear his voice and no other voice, "and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which give them unto me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, but not out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one."
So why is it then that it seems as if Christians return to sin from time to time?
Well, I guess the reason why they turn to sin from time to time is based on what Luke chapter 9 verse 62 says. And the Bible says James chapter 1 verse 14 to 15 tells, "But every man when he is tempted, he is drawn away after his own lust and enticed. And then when lust is finished, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death." So whenever we as Christians, and we find ourselves being drawn away from the Father, this is what causes the sin, when we are drawn away after our own lust.
So when I sin, and I, even though I'm a Christian, and I'm drawn away after my own lust, can I be saved?
No, you cannot. Here is another thing that a lot of people teaches you in Christendom. They teach you that once you are in the Father's hand, according to John 10, verses 28, and the Bible says that no man can pluck you out of his hand. Some of them believe that because you are in his hand, and because you are connected with him, you can go on and do whatever you want to do. But this right here, I think, is a... I know for sure it's a message from the devil. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 to 15, the Bible says that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And it's no great thing that he can make his ministers appear to be ministers of righteousness. So it's very important that we search the Word of God for ourselves when we are ministered to by anyone that is teaching us the Word of God. Because the Bible tells us that in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "And Jesus said unto him, and also to us, that no man having put his hand to the plow and look back is fit for the kingdom of God." So Jesus tells us here clearly that if you and I are in him, and we decide to leave him and go about doing our own stuff and remain doing that, although we had a knowledge of him before we went and did whatever it is we did, he said none of us would be fit for the kingdom of God.
But I thought that once we abide in the vine, that we are covered and saved forever.
Well, I guess what happened here is if you read John chapter 15 verse 5 and just leave it like that, then it would sound like we are covered forever. Because John chapter 15 verse 5 says, "And I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He or she that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Now, if we stop right there, it'll be okay. But the verse continues in verse number 6, and it says, If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. So the Bible tells us that once we leave the vine, we wither and we die. And at the end of time, the angels, which is referred to this place as men, will gather us and throw us into the fire, and we will be burnt. So the doctrine of once saved, always saved is only true when you and I continue to abide in the vine.
So how long do I have to abide in him or depend on him to ensure that I will be saved?
Well, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Jesus says, "For hereunto are we called, but Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth." And this is what it means when you and I take on the born-again experience in Christ Jesus, that we will suffer like he suffered, we will follow the example that he followed, and in our steps and in our movements, there'll be no sin, no guile will be found in our mouth.
So are you saying as long as I'm on this earth, I have to depend on Christ?
Yes, you do. According to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Not as though we have already attained, for already perfect, but I follow after, if that I had apprehended, that for which also I had apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching for those things which are before, and I press towards the mark of the prize in Christ Jesus."
Okay, in his life here, did Christ leave us an example to follow?
Yes, he did. According to John chapter 5 and verse 30, you will see that Jesus also had to depend on his heavenly Father, like he is asking us to depend on him. John 5:30 tells us that, "And I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So Christ also had a will, which he had to surrender to his heavenly Father. And because of him surrendering his will to his heavenly Father, and we surrender our will to our heavenly Father, then we are too will be able to walk like he walked when he was here on earth.
Well, Christians like to use 1 Corinthians 5 to show that you're once saved, always saved. Could you point us where they might be mistaken?
Thank you, Brother Julian. Right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you need to read the whole chapter. It says that, beginning at verse 1, Paul told us that it is reportedly common that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. This was a sin force that was going on in the church of God back in the time of Paul that was not even common among the Gentiles that was going on in the church of God. The Gentiles, as we all know that are Christians, and maybe some of you who might not know, before you and I come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are all Gentiles. And when we take on the name Christians, we are then moved from the name Gentiles to spiritual Israel. And Paul went on to say in verses 2 that the people in his day were puffed up. And instead of they deal with the situation, they were feeling good about what was going on, being puffed up. And Paul tells them, say, in verse 3, he said, "For verily, although I'm absent in the body, I'm present in the spirit, having judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that had so great a deed." And then Paul said, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we gather together by the Spirit, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord." So Paul told him it was very important to get rid of this young man that was causing problems with the rest of the brethren in the days of Paul. And then in verse 7 he told him, said, "Purge out the old leaven, which is sin, and that ye put on a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ is also our Passover and a sacrifice for us." In verse 9, Paul told him, say, "I write unto you not to keep company with fornicators." And then he said, he went to the list of some of the other things that were going on, like fornication and adultery and covetousness and drunkenness. And then he also told him not to eat with such a one who find himself in this situation. And then in verse 13, Paul says, "But them that are without God, judge it. Therefore, put up from among you yourselves that wicked person." So it's very important that when you and I find ourselves in the company with people who are not living according to the standard, it's very important for us to encourage them to remove away from this thing that they are doing that is bringing disgrace upon the cause of God. Because if you don't, remember Ezekiel 33 tells us that their sin will become our sin, according to Ezekiel chapter 33.
Okay, Paul, I'm gonna move away just for a minute. one of the things that I, in speaking with some people who listen to the program, one of the things that they say that we seem to be teaching is that once you have arrived, you have arrived. What do you have to say about that?
It all depends what they mean by the word arrive. See, none of us will arrive until we reach into the kingdom of God. Every day we have to fall on our knees and ask for new power and new strength and new guidings in order to keep us on the road to heaven. Remember, the Bible says in Proverbs that the path of the just is like a shining light, and it shines brighter and brighter until that perfect day. So there'll never come a time in a Christian life when we could actually pack our bags and throw away our Bibles and say, okay, I'm just going to sit back right now and wait for Jesus to come. Because remember, even our Heavenly Father was always in communion with His Heavenly Father day by day. And if He who did no sin had to rely on the communication with His Father and also the angels ministering unto Him, who are we who did sin, who he died for, to say, okay, we have arrived now, everything is okay?
Are you saying then that once we are on this earth, as long as Christ has not come, we will still need to abide in Christ and Christ in us?
Yes, every day of our lives. And one of the things we need to do too as believers is that sometimes, instead of focusing on asking for forgiveness, let's focus on thanking God for the victories that were won through Him. We should be fighting, we should be gaining more victories than defeats. Because remember, Satan is not stronger than the Lord. The Holy Spirit, we have three on our side, it's just one. We got the Father, we got the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. When Satan is just all by himself. And to every angel that Satan have, we have maybe three or four. Because remember, just a third of them were cast out. So we have more power on our side than he have on his side. But the conflict, like we said in the earlier program that is going on, is that the battle is not with the sin. The battle is, will we remain in Christ Jesus so he can deal with the sin? Remember, he is the one that is fighting for us. We cannot fight. All the ammunition that we need is in Christ Jesus.
So if we have all this ammunition, why are Christians that we speak to on a regular basis still saying that you cannot live without sinning, that you have to overcome you have to be overcome by temptation?
I think the reason why they're saying this, Brother Jones, because I don't think they're studying the Word of God for themselves. You can't be studying the Word of God for yourself and be thinking that you still will be, you still have to be overcome by sin. Remember that the devil tool that he uses among us a lot is discouragement. You know, and I always ask people, if you feel as if you can't live the victorious life and you are a frequent churchgoer, then why pay tithes and offerings? It doesn't make any sense paying tithes and offerings to the church that is not teaching you how you can live the victorious life. This victorious life only comes in our Lord and Savior Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why we accept Christ. And remember, the Bible says the harvest is past and we are not saved yet. So as long as we're here, every day of our lives, we have to be asking for the power to remain in Christ Jesus.
Another question I have that we ask every week, basically, is if Christians, if those who believe to be, they call themselves Christian, if they can't stop sinning, as what they say, why do we expect those who are not Christians to do the right thing?
Another good question, Brother Julian. I think we find ourselves in the trap of Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? We have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that we are our brother's keepers. And we are the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Here again, the only way our light can shine if we are hooked up with the source, Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 15, verse 5, referring to that vine again. That vine have to stay, we have to be attached to that vine every day of our lives so we can have much power to shine forth from day to day.
Brother Paul, well, what recommendation have to somebody who might have been a Christian and have not realized that they actually could live a sinless life, what would be your recommendation for them to do right now as they listen to this program?
I think what they need to do right now is to go back to the Bible and search the truth for yourself and see if you can find something in your Bible that teaches us on the three questions we asked at the beginning of this series of living a victorious life. Is it true we sin every day? Is it true that it's easy to sin? And is it true that we are easy to be lost? And if you can't build a doctrine on those three topics, then you know for sure the devil is trying to plant things into your mind to say that, hey, this is foolishness. But even if you do a research in your own life, think about it. What did you do from this time you got up this morning? What did you do to upset our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I mean, you know it was a sin and you just outright did it. You know, if you just pause a moment, maybe you didn't do anything. You see, this is the thing the devil used. Because remember, temptation is not sin. Sin, the Bible says, is when we transgress the commandments of God, which is listed in Exodus chapter 20. Once again, I'd like to leave with you what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And the Bible says that you and I should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. First to the Jew and also to the Greek, and now all of us in the land of the Bahamas and wherever this radio program is going for today. Remember, the power is in Jesus Christ. Continue to be encouraged and let the love of God be with you. Until next week, this is Paul Miller.
You know, finally, courage and an abundance of faith in the healing power of God is so important on this struggle that we face each day. Satan is out to destroy. This is his purpose. And you know what? The sad thing is, we help him. But we've got a loving Savior. We have a loving Savior who is yearning to assist you in getting the victory over Satan and over self. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, Amen. That ye may be able to bear it." May Amen. God bless you as you face all the struggles that you will face throughout your day.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O Lord, for allowing us the opportunity to come before your throne. Lord, we come realizing that we are the chief of sinners. And so, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit now to come upon us, come into our lives and come into our hearts. Give us the strength and the power and the desire to want to study your word more fervently, that we may come to a true understanding, that we too may be able to live a sinless life here on this earth, here and now. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is area code 242-322-6273 or 242-364-0085. Have a wonderful evening in the Bahamas. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Marlene McKinney. Invest in your health.
And this is Julian Miller. Until next week, may God richly bless you.